Good morning, Governor Ned Lamont.
Good morning. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Brad. Hey, Gary.
How are you this morning?
We had a busy day yesterday.
So I heard.
Rolling out our transportation plan, so we're ready to go.
So what are you hearing?
All that stop-and-go traffic reporting I was just listening to, you can see why we got to get to work on our roads.
What are you hearing thus far? Are the reviews pouring in like a matinee?
The reviews are as follows. This seems like a really good meal. I think it's just what the doctor ordered, and I don't want to pay for it.
who are the sources of the... Who is the one saying all this stuff?
Yes, yes.
That's what I'd like to know. No, there's a lot... Listen, there's a lot of controversy when you call about... when you talk about... building, installing, and implementing tolling gantries, whether they're 14. I mean, the people are going to talk about it, you know.
What they really should be talking about is the fact that we haven't added any new jobs in this state in 50 years. And all the business leaders I've talked to have said one of the prime reasons is our transportation system is in gridlock. And that's our roads as well as our rail. And we haven't developed a Central Connecticut airport. So that's really holding us back. We worked very hard with the Trump Department of Transportation. They're ready to provide some of the lowest cost financing in American history if we can come up with a way to pay our share of it. And that's what we put forward in this proposal, a very low cost way to get our transportation system moving again.
But there's already money that's appropriated in each and every budget for transportation. And we all hear, you know, year after year that it gets swept and that it gets reallocated for purposes other than transportation infrastructure. So perhaps if that money was never swept in the first place, then we wouldn't need tolling gantries.
Believe me, I don't know what happened many, many years ago, but none of the money is getting swept. All the transportation money is going to transportation. All the car tax money that's going going from the operating budget now is going into the transportation budget. That's all going to be complete over 4 years. We're making sure we make our investments there. And every dime of the revenues from a user fee on a bridge goes to pay off that bond, that federal bond, that money can't go anywhere except to pay off the construction on that bridge.
How long is this going to last? How long is it going to take?
Well, the TIFIA bonds that come from the Trump Department of Transportation on average are 27-year bonds. So the user fee would be tied to paying off those bonds.
Well, but tolls are not required to get TIFIA financing.
No, nope, that's absolutely right. All they say is, look, I need an independent source of revenue to do it. Many other states raise the gas tax to pay off the TIFIA bonds. I just think that's a lousy idea because Connecticut would end up paying for 95% of the cost. If we have, the user fees, we pay for more like 60%, and our neighbors would pay for 40%.
Yeah. A dedicated pledged revenue service is required, but it can only include any type of tax or fee that produces revenues. I guess if one reads the information about the TIFIA program, people could reach the conclusion that it's obvious that tolls are not required to provide a dedicated pledge revenue source.
No, you're right. Like I said, some other states raised the gas tax. I thought that was a lousy solution. A couple of other states, I believe, have raised the sales tax and dedicated that to paying off transportation. Again, those are all methods where Connecticut pays virtually 100%. I think that's lousy. I think we want a method where out-of-staters pay for, say, 40% of the tax.
Well,
you know,
but
they're using the roads.
Right, but I think that 40% is a little bit of an inflated number. It's more like 25 to 30%. But listen, building, installing, and implementing tolling gantries on a temporary basis, because I keep hearing the word temporary, Governor, it would not be cost-effective. It's basically, many would say, a pathway to permanent tolling. You know, and not for nothing, but once a new revenue stream is created in this state, it's never allowed to cease. So once these four, you know, once we receive the money back for these 14 tolling gantries at the conclusion of that term, there'll be 14. Theoretically, there could be 14 others that would. So it's, in other words, it goes on in perpetuity.
Maybe. I mean, we used to have tolls in the state of Connecticut many years ago, and we did take those down. So we have that discretion, you know, however we want to proceed there.
Yeah. I guess I just don't look at this as temporary tolling, because once that project is complete, there'll be 14 or 15 or many more. Is it true? I mean, that when you, by allowing 14 tolls, it just opens up the floodgates for increasing the amount of tolling in the state of Connecticut.
Well, not on my watch. You know, we've been very clear. This is the money we need to speed up our rail. Get airports moving again, and more importantly, get traffic going again, so I don't have to hear that traffic report about stop and start on I-84 and allow an extra 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
That's what we've got to do. And secondly, Brad, I got to tell you, we got this thing called the Special Transportation Fund, and it goes bankrupt in 5 years. It's just one more of those things you got to fix. And I know our friends in the legislature just as soon, let's delay it and put it off, and let's not deal with this crisis now. But I was elected to deal with the crisis and solve the problems. And
do you mean
this is my best idea?
Do you mean the lockbox?
I'm talking to the folks in the legislature, saying, if you got a better way to do this, you know, give me something where the numbers add up, and let's talk.
Do you mean the transportation lockbox?
No, the Special Transportation Fund is primarily gets all those revenues you were talking about
right. From
the gasoline tax.
Oh, right,
that's
right.
That's what
okay.
goes to pay for maintenance now. But as you know, the gasoline tax, you know, we lose a little bit of revenue every year just because people are moving to more fuel-efficient vehicles.
All right. Is it true that arbitrarily the fee of these tolls can be raised at any given time? In other words, I've been hearing that it starts at anywhere between 40 to 80 cents. But who's to say that within 6 to 12 months, that number, that fee, wouldn't be inflated?
Again, it's 40 to 80% for Connecticut Easy Pass drivers. A lot more for that than that for the big tractor-trailer trucks coming in from out of state. We've come up with those rates because they're sort of comparable to what you see in our neighboring states. We've talked to our neighboring states about this. But it's by a contract in a public-private partnership. So over 27 years, those fees, those user fees, are tied to the bond. So there's no need to raise any additional revenues over and above that. Our private partners who are rebuilding the Gold Star Bridge, they're the ones taking the financial risk. They're the ones that said they can do it for $350 million. And we've allocated user fee just to make sure that bridge is paid off on a timely basis.
User fee, meaning a toll?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, a tag, which is a tag. A tax by any other name is still a tax, in my opinion here. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the plastic bags. Why not just ban the plastic bags altogether rather than charging 10 cents? Is that just strictly another means of raising revenue?
No, I thought that, first of all, you're absolutely right. I think a lot of communities and some businesses are getting rid of the plastic bags and moving to paper or otherwise.
Uh-huh.
I just figure rather than just prohibiting things and upsetting the apple cart, putting a small fee on the plastic bags would incent people to reuse those bags. What they're doing is just filling up our landfills. And
right.
Our landfills are congested and costing us a fortune right now.
Absolutely.
So if we can ensure a little bit of conservation, I thought it made good sense.
No, and I agree with that. And from an environmentalist standpoint, listen, I mean, that people, a lot of them would agree with that. But if we're going to really be, you know, in charge and lead the way here from an environmental perspective, just ban them outright rather than charge, you know, 10 cents a plastic bag. I mean, you know as well as I do, you know, when the state of Connecticut receives a revenue stream, it'll never sunset. It'll just go again. It'll go on and on and on and on. Let's just ban them outright.
Well, I think that small fee is going to mean that more and more people don't use plastic bags. They use paper or they reuse what they've got. So I think we're going to end up in the same place.
That's exactly what a ban would do as well. How about now? Let's talk about the grocery tax. My goodness.
Why a grocery tax? Everybody is saying it everywhere you go.
They're saying it, but it's just plain false. There's no grocery tax, and there won't be any grocery tax. What there is a tax just on prepared foods in the grocery stores, so it's comparable to the tax that's in the restaurants. The prepared foods in the grocery store, you pick up a chicken, you take it out, it's cooked, whatever, competes directly with the restaurants. That's the only thing we've done. Please don't take the talking points. This is a big grocery tax, because that's just not right.
Well, to that point, though, Governor, we hear that, if you buy five or more muffins at Dunkin' Donuts or at some bakery or at a grocery store, then that's not taxed. But if you buy five or less, then it is taxed. I guess one of the areas that people have a problem with that bill.
Yeah, that sounds aggravating as hell, but that's not.
I'm glad you agree.
What we are doing is saying that same meal that you get at a grocery store was untaxed or could be untaxed, and that you could buy the same thing at a restaurant and there's a sales tax on it. So all we tried to do is make them parallel, so there's no advantage or disadvantage between buying that restaurant-style meal at a grocery store versus at a restaurant.
Yeah, and then there's people who is it left to the discretion of DRS?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, the legislature wrote some rules. DRS interprets those rules, but you're right. I thought DRS interpreted those rules in an unclear way.
Yeah.
I came down hard. I clarified it, and I said it's just on those prepared deals.
But the language of that bill was not changed to reflect that, correct? In other words, they never called a special session back in to change the language of that bill. We're just hoping and praying that DRS continues to interpret it the way that it was originally intended. However, theoretically, at any point down in the future, they can make a unilateral decision and say, well, we're no longer going to interpret it that way. We're going to interpret it the way that we originally interpreted it.
Well, first of all, the interpretation is what I said, and as long as I'm governor, you can count on that. And if the legislature in their wisdom wants to revisit this whole issue in the next legislative session, God bless them.
Okay. Recently, you've met with some other governors. We're going to switch gears once again to discuss the vaping. Massachusetts have a moratorium on that for 3 months. But yet Connecticut, and I think, was it New York? Did they have something temporary as well? Where does Connecticut stand on vaping and the future of vaping?
Yeah, I've gotten to know my fellow governors very well. We didn't have great relationships previously. We're small states. We're all sort of close to each other. And it just seemed to us insane that one state would outlaw vaping or temporarily ban it. Another state would do it, but not for the flavored vapes. Another wouldn't do anything at all. We said, given the fact that all anybody's doing is traveling from state to state, cherry picking the regulations they want, let's do something on a regional basis. And my instinct is we're going to very soon be proposing some regulation that at least ban the flavored vapes. As you know, we've gone further. We've also banned it for anybody under the age of 21.
Right.
And to your point, we've also taxed it just to make sure that we discourage, in particular, young people from ever trying this substance. Don't vape. It's really bad for you.
Yeah. All right, so you think that will be implemented sometime in 2020?
I think so. I got a bunch of governors. We're talking about it and tried to do it together.
We talked about a little bit this morning. In fact, if anybody's just joining, Brad and I, we are with our governor, Ned Lamont. Special session. Do you sense a special session being called sometime between now and when the regular session is goes into play, which in February, this upcoming session, because it's the short session being the election year? Do you anticipate a special session between now and then?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I hope that we're very close to resolving the hospital litigation that we inherited a year ago, which potentially could have cost the state billions of dollars. I'm hopeful that we've got an agreement on that, and that agreement has to be ratified by the legislature, so let's get to it.
Mm-hmm.
I had vetoed a bill regarding restaurant workers where some of them felt like they were being shortchanged. You know, reached an agreement, I believe, between the workers and the restaurants, and I'd like to get that agreement settled. That requires legislation session as well. So those are two things that are ready to go. And the third one, again, is related to transportation and how much of transportation is bonded or put on the state credit card. And that obviously impacts our bonding bill. So those are the three things we want to get done. And hopefully we get it done before next year's session.
All right. Well, since you brought up transportation again and our time is winding down.
Oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that.
I'm sorry. Well, we only got a couple more minutes anyhow. So do you think the legislature has the numbers to pass tolls?
I think the legislature has the numbers. They know how absolutely important it is that we fix our transportation, speed it up.
Right, but that's two different questions. I think everybody, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Governor, and please accept my apology, but those are two different questions. I think everybody would agree that, the state of Connecticut needs its infrastructure, the transportation infrastructure to be, safe. There's no question about that. It's the method that we choose in order to pay for it. That's where I think...
You're right, Brad.
No, this is Gary. That's okay.
I was trying to end on it. It's a close call, to tell you the truth. Because every day there are people in pink hats holding signs saying no tolls. And every time I say, what is your alternative? Should we borrow or gas? What are you thinking? And people go, no tolls. So we're going to have to work that through. And I understand this is a really tough issue for people.
It is.
The middle class is getting hammered. They see it as one more damn tax.
Well, I'm glad that you say that.
Maybe if the bridge doesn't fall for the next 5 years, we can just sort of slow things up a little bit.
And Governor, you just hit the nail right on the head. And during your campaign, you said a lot of things about tolls. And in fact, you said that same statement in our interview this morning. That's, quote, not on my watch, unquote. But yet here we find ourselves debating tolls. I believe your original plan was not to toll cars, correct?
And our current plan is the tax or toll trucks. 7 times more than we do any of our in-state vehicles. So while it's illegal, I found out from Rhode Island and Pennsylvania to just toll trucks, just do a user fee on trucks, what we can do is have a maximum differential where the trucks pay 7 or 8 times more than our in-state cars.
Yeah, and that would just increase the price of goods that a lot of our middle class who are already squeezed would have to endure.
Brad, I'll push back on that. I mean, most of those goods and products come in from other states. My God, they're all paying user fees or tolls and other things coming in from Massachusetts and New York. I just think we're getting hammered. I think we're paying a premium for all the stuff coming in from other states. We're helping to maintain their roads and bridges. I think some of these same big trucks can help contribute to our roads and bridges.
You had said something a moment ago, though, that really struck with me. And you, again, you hit the nail on the head. The middle class is getting squeezed with a lot of taxes. But yet we find and we hear more and more taxes that are being proposed. So what can we do? Are there any tax breaks in the future?
Oh, my God. I mean, first of all, Roland, Rell, Malloy, they all raised income tax. When they were in office. That's something we did not do, aren't doing. Many of them raised the sales tax fee or two, something we have not done and are not doing. I eliminated the income tax on Social Security, something with the legislature. They had planned it as well. Just trying to do everything we can.
I know that bill very well.
The place a little more affordable.
Well. I guess it's just
I'm skeptical.
Well, let's face it, Governor, you know it as well as I do. Let's not kid each other. People, they don't trust the government. They don't trust legislators. They don't trust the governor. They don't trust anybody in government. You know that.
But that can't be an excuse for inaction. That can't be an excuse for the status quo. That can't say, let's not fix this bridge because I don't trust government.
No.
I've got to do a better job of looking people in the eye and saying, I'm a business guy. I know how to spend the dollar wisely. I know how to invest it. And I know how to keep my word and make sure that every dime goes to fixing that bridge.
If you had a mulligan to do something all over again, where you sit there and say, all right, you know what? I admit it. I messed up on this one thing. What would that be?
Oh, that's a good question. Look, I think during the campaign, I thought that we'd be able to do trucks only. And then after the campaign, lawyers and others have said, look, trucks only doesn't work. I think I paid a price for that. People said you should have known that during the campaign when you said it. And damn it, I didn't. And I'm paying a price for it. And to your point, Brad, is that credibility and trust in government is at such a high stakes right now. I've got to do a better job every day of looking people in the eyes so they know they can take me at my word.
Well, and actually, this is Gary. Many people have offered to have volunteered grading you. If you were to give yourself a grade, you're 11 months into your tenure as our governor. What grade would you give yourself?
Oh, I think I'd give us a B plus.
Okay.
I think we inherited an enormous deficit, Gary, and balanced the budget without raising tax rates. I think that was good. Let's say it's an incomplete on transportation, and you know how important I thought that was.
Yep.
And finally, workforce development and training people. I think we're getting that going. So B plus.
Okay. My final question for you, and we greatly appreciate you being on with us.
What would you give me?
What was that? I couldn't hear you.
What grade would you give me?
I would give you a D.
Ooh.
A D. But I think there's potential. Listen, this comes down to, do you feel you're doing the will of the people?
I think I'm doing what we got to do to get this state growing again, creating jobs, investing in the future, and turning around the moving vans and bringing it back to Connecticut. I think I'm talking to businesses far and wide for the first time in many, many years and giving them confidence this is where they want to be. I've got a pipeline of companies that are interested in moving to the state of Connecticut. I've got a pipeline of companies that are thinking about expanding even more in the state of Connecticut. You know, that's what I got to do. But, you know, sometimes it means really making hard decisions that are not popular.
I give that to you.
I'm not in this to make popular decisions. I'm in this to make the right decisions.
You're absolutely right, and I do grant you that. But the will of the people, they're saying overwhelmingly, no tolls, find another way.
And my overwhelming response is, as I say to the no tolls and the legislators, give me your best other way. Is it? Tell me what it is, and let's put that on the table. But the numbers have to add up. You've got to fix that bridge.
I cannot thank you enough for joining us this morning. I hope that, you know, when we start the next legislative session in February, maybe you'll come on just prior to that. We greatly appreciate your time with us this morning. You have no idea how much it means to Brad and I.
Well, Gary, thank you. Appreciate it. You're a tough grader. I'm going to be pushing to get to the C's next time I talk to you.
Fair enough. I accept that. I really do.
All right,
I really do. Thank you so much.